From the North Pole.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, Tadej Pogačar just got even better. Should his rivals be scared? Should we be scared? Well, absolutely we should. We will explain why.
We've also got a special Christmas edition of Hack /Bodge of the Week, a new FKT record that's been taken away from Lachlan Morton, another one that's about to be attempted on a unicycle, and more new kits from the 2026 World Tour.
Plus, the world's most expensive bike path. Probably not something that people knew they needed to know about, but they'll be glad they did.
This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that some people believe that I look like this.
Now, since we put this photo up on Instagram last week, the comments have been going wild.
So wild.
Probably not helped by Dan adding his own to say that the photo was indeed genuine.
I mean, I did. I was being sarcastic, obviously. I just sort of assumed that everyone would know that I do not look like that, despite my best efforts to look like that.
Well, clearly not everyone's watching GCN, or they just believe in overnight miracles. It's time of year, isn't it? And now we also learned that white shorts are back, or at least Ineos Grenadiers think they're back, because they unveiled their 2026 kit last week, and I shall quote directly from their press release, Dan.
It's a good one, this is.
Built around a brighter palette, the design places orange at its core for the first time, chosen to maximise visibility and stand out in the World Tour peloton. Set against a light base, it delivers contrast, energy and a bold look.
Well worded.
Thanks, yeah.
I mean, the shorts aren't quite white.
Not quite white, no, they're definitely not quite white.
The bottom of the jersey is definitely white. The shorts are more like white that's been in the wash a couple of times.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about that. That's going to save them quite a bit of money.
It will do, actually, isn't it?
Can I have some new shorts, please? These look a bit old. No, they're supposed to look like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, we're all supposed to be able to see through them when they get wet.
Either way, it does take a certain kind of rider to be able to pull off white or grey shorts, Si. And as you know, I was not, and am not, that certain type of rider.
You must be relieved that we haven't used a picture of you wearing white shorts for the last 13 or so years.
I'm so relieved, Si. Maybe we could get that picture sort of tweaked with AI, maybe, like the previous photo of me.
What would you be asking AI to tweak on that, Dan?
Just make me look better, like the previous one.
Yeah, all right. No, I don't think we should. Although I'm quite intrigued, to be honest with you, what AI will do. Yeah, okay, we'll see. Well, I don't know about that, Dan. What do you think?
Oh, we've done it, have we?
I mean, I'm assuming we've done it.
I've not even seen it yet, so I can't pass judgment.
Hopefully it's safe for work. Right, finally this week, we learned that Tadej Pogačar just got better than ever. So the world champion doesn't post much to Strava outside of racing, does he? But last Friday, he uploaded a 226-kilometre training ride around southern Spain.
Along with what looks to be a decent-sized group made up of current and future teammates, he covered those 226 kilometres in just 6 hours and 8 minutes. That is an average speed of 36.8 kilometres per hour in training. The title of the ride? Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yeah, nothing exceptional so far. It's a long ride and quite fast, but that's about it. Until you look into the finer details and the KOM that he took near the start, the Coi de Rates, averaging over 32 kilometres per hour, 20 mile an hour, up a climb that is 6.5 kilometres long at an average gradient of 5.5%.
If you'd like to see what that looks like, just check out this video taken from the side of the road as they were doing the attempt from Sean Kirkalier.
Yeah, that
Sean? Sean Kirkalier.
There we go.
Sorry,
nailed it.
Got to get his name right.
I mean, frankly, that is ridiculous.
That's mind-blowing. I mean, it must have been even more mind-blowing being on the side there, riding up alongside them.
Yeah.
Especially for mid-December, by the way. Now, if you don't know the Coi de Rates, is that how you say
it? I think that's how you pronounce it, yeah.
It's one of the most ridden Strava segments in the world, with close to 100,000 efforts up it. Its popularity is in large part due to its location. As mentioned, it's in southern Spain, Alicante to be precise, which is the base for most top teams through the winter months. As such, it's been used as a testing ground for pros and amateur cyclists for many, many years, even before the days of Strava.
Technically, Dan, it's more like Calpe Denia, isn't it? Alicante's the nearest airport.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
One rider, which we even got a pro contract off the back of taking a KOM there, that one rider being Jonas Vingegaard. Yeah, in March 2018, he rode up it with a full lead out from his Collar Quick teammates, averaging 29.6 k an hour and taking the crown away from TJ Van Garderen.
Yeah, the rest is history, as they say. Vingegaard was then signed up by Jumbo-Visma, as they were back then, and then went on to win the Tour de France twice in front of Tadej Pogacar.
Yeah, now Collar Quick have since made it a thing, haven't they,
yeah,
on their winter visits to Spain. It's not just about trying to take the KOM, it's about getting team to work perfectly together towards a common goal.
So in 2019, another of their riders, Jakob Hinsgaal, took 2 seconds off Vingegaard's time, and that record then stood until March of 2024, when two of their riders went quicker, the fastest of whom was Peter Oxenberg Hansen. 18 at the time, he's now riding for Ineos Grenadiers with their off-white shorts.
I wonder if he's looking forward to his new shorts.
I'd have thought so.
Yeah, probably because he's seen the picture of you.
Well, he's seen what you can do with it with AI.
Yeah. Anyway, this time last year, UAE Team Emirates got involved, didn't they? A little bit like the big kids going over to steal the smaller kids' football, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit like that, yeah.
Yeah, Pogacar, with the help of his teammates, took 17 seconds off the best time, the 18-year-old kid, remember, averaging 31.2k an hour for 12 minutes and 21 seconds.
Yeah, and 31.2 kilometres out on a climb that averages 5.5% is already quite impressive, Si, isn't it? In what looked to be a bigger group of teammates this year, though, he romped up it in 11 minutes 57 seconds, which meant he took a full 24 seconds off that record that he'd sent 1 year previous.
So that's all half a minute quicker.
Not far off. Yeah.
Yeah, which is significant over a climb that's 12 minutes in duration. And his average speed, a whopping 32.3k an hour. That's over 20 mile an hour average on a 5.5% 12-minute climb.
Oh, just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you take a look at this graph, you can see that they hit the climb at over 56 kilometres per hour, and that he was cruising on many parts of it at around 36 kilometres per hour, which also is just crazy.
Yeah, now we don't know exactly how long Poggy was able to draft his teammates for, but judging by the video that Sean took of it, it looks like he still had Jan Christian, Tim Wellens and Isaac Del Toro in front of him at that point on the climb. Now, given that Christian finished his effort with 2.3k to the top, you'd imagine the other two continued a fair way further.
Well, you would have thought so, yes, because, well, Wellens is a blooming good rider and a bit of a specialist, isn't he, at 10-minute climbs and efforts, and we know how good Del Toro is, of course. Unfortunately, neither of them have uploaded their rides to Strava, so we don't know exactly how far they took him up the climb.
Maybe they beat him. Maybe afterwards he said, you guys aren't allowed to upload your rides because I need the KOM.
I'm the leader of this team.
I am the leader, yeah. What are GCN going to talk about if you, Isaac, get the KOM? Nah. Now, if we look at this graph, which compares Pogacar's ascent this year to last year, you can see that the two times track pretty closely for the first third of the climb. And it was only just before the halfway mark where he made a big difference.
It was, yeah. So at 2.5 kilometres into the climb, he was only 1 second ahead of this time from last year, so tracking very closely, as Si said. But then 1 kilometre after that, he'd made up a further 12 seconds. Towards the top, the gains were slightly less significant, but at the same time, looking at that graph, there was not really any point on the climb where he wasn't going quicker than this time last year.
Yeah, now we also don't have any power data from him, do we? But the aforementioned Peter Oxenberg Hansen averaged 454 watts to go 41 seconds slower. Now, he's listed on Pro Cycling Stats at 68 kilo, which is about 3 to 4 kilos heavier than Pogacar.
So he would have been doing quite a lot of power as well, wouldn't
he?
So why should people be scared? Well, firstly, there is the obvious reason that Pogacar looks like he's even better than he was 1 year ago. Even if conditions on the day were slightly more favourable, a speed increase of over 1 kilometre per hour on a climb like that is crazy.
Yeah, and then secondly, he's not even racing for 11 weeks.
No.
Yeah, so his season was starting much earlier last year with the UAE Tour. But last year? Last season.
Technically this year still, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Last season. And so you could understand why his form was already pretty good in late December.
Yeah, but as you just pointed out, since he's not racing until March next year at Strade Bianche, you would have just thought that he'd be a little more relaxed at this time of year, a little further short of his good form. And that, for me, is the real scary thing. The prospect that he is further away from good form, that there is still more to come from it. Because if that's the case, then a peloton of riders who've already almost given up beating him are going to feel even more despondent and defeated before they even started.
Yep, 100%. And then what about us, the fans? Well, we too should perhaps be a little bit worried, shouldn't we? Pogacar is already the most dominant rider we have seen in generations, the only rider that most of us have witnessed being able to win almost at will. And if he's better than ever in 2026, then there's not exactly going to be a lot of suspense in most of the races that he's riding, is there?
I mean, there wasn't a lot of suspense in many of the races that he competed at this year and last year, actually. So, yeah, we don't want it to get any worse than that, really, do we?
No.
As fans. So let's hope he has peaked too early or that he had very, very favourable conditions or that his rivals managed to step things up for 2026.
Yeah. I mean, with favourable conditions, like the climb goes two directions.
I know, yeah.
So even like with a tailie, you'd also have a headwind.
It'd have to be just very low atmospheric pressure or something.
Maybe it was a float day.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd got his tyre pressure sorted.
Yeah, maybe there was a thunderstorm just around the corner.
Yeah, anyway. Think that any of those things that we just talked about will make it less suspenseful?
Well, they would, but I don't believe they're going to happen.
No. No, me neither. No. Don't think so.
Do you know what I think that they were actually doing apart from trying to get the KOM up the Rattes, though?
No, what?
I think they were practicing for Milano Sanremo next year.
Ooh.
And making the Cipressa climb even harder than they did this year.
I mean, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And that was an absolutely cracking race, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't normally share quite the same passion for that race that you do, Si.
Weird.
Famously so. But yes, I have to agree, watching the race blow up the Cipressa was something I actually never thought I was going to see again in my lifetime. It was amazing.
Yeah. Do you think his plan is to therefore go alone this year? He's going to have to drop Van der Poel.
I know, yeah. I mean, I think his plan probably will be that, yeah. So hope that anyone that tries to follow his team and then him blows up so hard, they then can't chase him down between there and the Poggio or the finish. And I guess the same for any domestiques of those riders that have dropped, that they've got nothing left to give either.
They're going to have to go earlier than the Cipressa.
Where are they going to go?
Just the whole way from the... Is it the Ticino? What's that big
one? Ticino,
the Ticino pass.
Mm,
well, I mean, they went hard on the Cipressa and it wasn't hard enough, so they're just going to have to make it even harder.
Well, it was almost hard enough.
Almost, but not quite.
Well, this is what they're practising for, so, isn't it?
Well, I know, that's what I mean. They weren't practising for the Cipressa, they were practising for the Ticino. Yeah. Anyway, Pogacar wins the 2026 San Remo by going solo on the Cipressa. You heard it here first. Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't put it past him, would you?
No.
I wouldn't, anyway.
No. There is one note of caution, though. I'd like to add, Dan.
Is there? What's that?
Well, so did you see the news about Femme Van Empel?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so she is a 3-time world cyclocross champ by the age of just 23. Most people were touting as being the new big thing, mm-hmm. weren't they?
Well, she was the big thing.
Well, yeah. You know, and now she's just announced that she's stepping away from the sport. Temporarily, perhaps, or permanently, we don't know. Now, I'm not saying that Pogacar is in the same boat as her, but it does make you think, doesn't it? You're only ever a small step away from something happening.
Mm-hmm. Very
so
true.
It's not a done deal.
I do know what you mean. I mean, I was only ever a small step away from not getting a contract, not finding one in the first place. Slightly different case, anyway. What we saw, though, with Pogacar, he did seem a little burnt out at the end of the Tour de France last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
But that's why the team has probably changed plan this year to do fewer races ahead of it. That said, he was suffering more from the injuries from his crash than he let on during the race.
Yeah.
Anyway, time to throw it out to you guys. Do you think Pogacar is better than ever? Will he be better than ever in 2026? And will you be disappointed if he is?
Yeah. Let us know in the comments section down below. And also, let us know the last time that you rode up a climb at over 20 mile an hour.
What are they going to say for that? I mean, I remember it well the last time I did it, now that you ask. It was on a de-restricted e-bike.
I wonder whether Andrew Feather could take the KOM up the Col de Rates. We could have like a GCN lead out.
Well, that's gonna hinder him, not help him.
Do you reckon if we had a full GCN lead out,
no.
We could get to 56k an hour on the running?
I don't even know if we could do that bit. Right, over to you, Andrew. We've got a 46k's an hour.
I'm gonna look forward to seeing him try.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that a big FKT in New Zealand has just been smashed. This is the 648-kilometre Auckland to Wellington record that was taken by Lachlan Morton earlier in the year. But Sam Shaw has just annihilated it with a time of 17 hours and 21 minutes.
Which is an average speed of 37 kilometres per hour, with 257 watts average, and apparently included no stops.
Ooh.
Plus, it looks like Sam was on a standard road bike, doesn't it? So no clip-on bars or anything, and a standard road helmet as well.
Yeah, that is some ride, isn't it? And I'm sure it'll feel pretty good to have claimed the record back off an Australian. Now, seeing as everyone here is pretty sore,
very sore
about England getting annihilated in the Ashes, I'm also quite pleased.
Yeah, I'm really pleased for Sam as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of FKTs, this one will be a big one, both in scale and duration. Cycling Norm is attempting to break the record for circumnavigating the globe on a unicycle.
Unfortunately, he's an Australian.
Is that a problem?
Well, not usually, no. But no,
at the moment.
Anyway, the current record holder is an Englishman called Ed Pratt, whom I actually met on his, I can't remember whether it was his penultimate or his final day of round the world cycling, unicycling, and he stopped and reminded me how to ride a unicycle.
Oh, can you ride a unicycycle?
I mean, I might have forgotten again, but yeah,
oh,
I used to be able to.
No, never have been able to.
Anyway, Ed took 3 years over it.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he was racing. He spent quite a bit of time not riding as well as riding. I think, in fact, he spent an entire winter in, like, Outer Mongolia or something.
Okay. Well, I get the impression that Norm's going to take things a bit more seriously to go as fast as possible. He's got the bit between his teeth. So he's kitted out his unicycle with tri-bar sign to get aero and also a gear so that he can go faster.
Yeah, a gear on a unicycle. This blew my mind, Dan. I did not know it was a thing. But anyway, all jokes aside, best of luck, Norm.
Yeah, good luck indeed. Now, last week, you might remember that we mentioned a few new team kits had been released already, and Canyon SRAM Zonda Crypto have since updated theirs for 2026.
Yeah, now this is always something that we look forward to. They set a pretty high bar when they launched 10 years ago, would you believe? And this year, I think it has lived up to that. So for podcast listeners, I will describe it for you. You ready?
Are you quoting again or not?
No. The design itself draws on a bold colour infusion, Dan, taking a dark purple base colour that's kind of merged with a turquoise, pink, coral and red colour palette to create a unique light refraction effect.
I'd say that's very well described, Si. Certainly better than your usual efforts.
Now, many of you will be attempting a Festive 500 over the Christmas period. This was actually initially a Rafa creation as well, you know, and it's seemingly outgrown its origins, but the concept is basically to ride 500 kilometres between Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
At this point, well, at any point, dates back to 2010, so 15 years ago. Back in the days, basically, where I would complete it without even noticing.
Yeah,
so
nowadays,
riding I was doing then. So.
I know, nowadays it would take till April, wouldn't it?
At least, probably, on some years. Anyway, there's always someone out to take it another level, or take it to another level, should I say, and this year, 10 riders are going to tackle it on the legendary Herne Hill Velodrome in London in one non-stop 500-kilometre ride.
Oh, yes. That will be only 1,112 laps. Of their outdoor track, starting at 1 p.m. on the 28th of December.
Well, it sounds absolutely delightful.
Doesn't it just?
Doesn't it? 1,112 laps.
Yeah. Fair play. 1,000?
Yeah, 1,100.
Oh, that's the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the same as 1,000, but it's the same as 1,100.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, fair play to everyone that's taking that on. They're raising money for the Friends of Herne Hill Velodrome charity, which keeps this incredibly important place operational, supporting youth programmes, maintenance of the track and community outreach initiatives.
Yeah, if you would like to donate, then we'll pop a link to the event page in the description.
We will indeed. Lots of people these days, though, rack up their Festive 500 indoors, don't they? Certainly a lot more than they did back in 2010.
Yeah.
There's loads of events on Zwift, plus if Ruby is your chosen platform, you can now ride some more of Bolivia's gravel roads that you might have seen Si and Ollie taking on in our recent videos.
Yes, not just Chacaltay, which is the climb to 5,300 metres, but also Death Road itself, up, not down, and also with basically no risk of death.
Happy days. Right, our good friend John Canning spotted this next story in the Metro newspaper when he was on the train the other morning. Apparently, police in London are handing out speeding tickets to cyclists on a shared-use path in the southwest of the city.
What's the speed limit now?
12 miles per hour.
Crikey. I mean, even you would need to watch out, wouldn't
you? I would, very true. I'd like to think that on a shared-use bike path, though, I wouldn't be speeding in the first place.
No.
So sub 12 miles per hour for me. But it does raise a question, seeing as on roads, cyclists don't get speeding fines much, even if they are breaking the speed limit.
Well, I mean, literally not at all. There's no rule for speeding cyclists in the UK. You can only get done for cycling wanton and furiously, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But
that braking I didn't need to do.
Exactly. I looked into this a little bit. When I say a little bit, what I mean, like...
In depth.
Yeah, a couple of minutes on Google. But apparently some places in the UK have historic bylaws that can be enforced. But the thing that I'm stuck on is that given a lot of people actually won't know what speed they're riding at, you'd think it'd be quite hard to enforce, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But that said, I'm actually not in favour, if you see what I mean.
Right, yeah. I think I do.
Yeah, I mean, as in like... Negative. It's like I'm not absolutely in favour because... I'm not entirely sure it's a step in the right direction, but equally, I think if someone is cycling like an idiot, then they should be kind of reprimanded, slapped on the wrist.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Now, while I was looking at what else has made the cycling headlines this last week, I noticed not one, but two proposed bike paths that could each lay claim to being the most expensive in the world. Firstly, over in the US, plans to replace the Chesapeake Bridge in Virginia are already quite costly at $16.4 billion.
Wow.
Sorry, yes, indeed. But if they want to add bike lanes into their plans, the cost increases by a further $1 billion.
Whoa. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I guess not really anyone would notice if they snuck that through, would they? 16 or 17 billion, it's probably all the same. But on its own, that does seem quite expensive,
yeah,
doesn't it?
$1 billion for a bike lane.
Yeah.
However, if the air-conditioned indoor cycling path in Dubai called The Loop ever makes it past the concept stages, you could be sure it would dwarf any previous spending on anything, ever, probably.
Yes, indeed it would. Now, this post on Instagram, which brought it back to our attention, but it was announced, I think, a few years ago, wasn't it now? But they are still exploring plans for a 93-kilometre air-conditioned tunnel network designed to enable year-round walking and cycling, even during extreme heat.
It feels so weird, wouldn't it, riding through a 93-kilometre tunnel?
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Sorry, imagine if they put fans in there, you could have a constant tailwind.
Or headwind, wasn't it, training?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right, moving on, you'll remember that we had a number of teams representing GCN in the Zwift Racing Leagues this season.
I remember, mine were the best.
Yes. Of your category. So, I just want to say a massive public thank you to Jimmy, who sent this photo on our WhatsApp group in our team.
Oh, bulk purchase.
Pretty much, yeah.
Jimmy, thank you very much for this.
Well, that is exactly what I said on the group chat site. Too late for those of you at home to order the Christmas now if you haven't done so already, but our shop is always open and your support is always appreciated.
It absolutely is, yeah. And now we'll finish Cycling Shorts by announcing the winners of our Pirelli giveaway.
We will indeed. Right, drum roll. Five winners, so congratulations to Jacob Peterson, Matt Chapman, Michael Mittelstadt, Peter Costantinou, and Helga Bronch.
If we haven't already been in touch, then you should be hearing from us very soon.
Next up, it's time for the festive edition of Hack /Bodge of the Week. You can always get involved in this part of the show. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader to upload any hacks or bodges from yourself or those that you've seen out and about. Our first one this week comes in from Caitlin, who put, I work at a bike shop and we had a few wheels recalled for a warranty issue. They were taking up a bit of space in our metal recycling bin, and being the crafty person in our shop, I managed to assemble this little festive Christmas tree. Drilled some extra holes in the rims and attached the wheels together with some nuts and bolts, covered the tree with reflectors to act as decorations, plus some light and greenery. The little tree is incredibly robust and stable, weighs 30 pounds, sorry. The base is made of 20-inch wheels, middle of 16-inch, and 12-inch at the top. I have it hanging our shop window, so the angle isn't the best.
That's pretty cool, but it's so bizarre that you have all those different wheels recalled for warranty issues. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I just assume they would all be like, oh, just these carbon wheels that we've had an issue with. as opposed to like, oh yeah, we've had some from 12-inch bikes, some from 16-inch bikes. Anyway, I'm getting hung up on some minor details here.
You're not exactly in the festive spirit.
No, that's true. I haven't, yes. I really like it. Well done.
Okay, we're both going hack then.
It is a hack, yes. If you make a Christmas tree out of wheels, how can it not be? Right, next up, we got this one from Brian from Hershey. I provided a similar setup last year, but this year I have another light string. Plus, we've had some December snow. Well, not that really slippery UK snow. You know what I'm talking about, Brian. So I lashed the sleds to the box, which further enhances the aesthetic. It is a Uber Supercargo and Home Depot sleds. So there you go.
Yep. Like the look of that?
Yes, I do. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, me too.
I like that very much. Can I say, by the way, that we had comments from Swedes last week.
Oh, about their snow being grippy, yeah.
Yeah, they said, it is grippy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to mention anything.
You
were right.
I was right, yes. Yeah, Sweden has grippy snow. England has slippy snow when we get it.
Poor old Brian is waiting for a verdict on... I know we did say hack, didn't we?
I think we said hack,
we said we liked it.
Festive hack.
Like, get on with the slippery and sticky snow and let me know how my hack or bodge got on. Next up, I've got another video. This one from Peter Smith. Our cycling club, Mello Velo, it's a good name, isn't it?
It is a good name, yeah.
Determined to claim the prize for the best Christmas tree utilising the power of the pedals.
All right.
You haven't seen this yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
No, there we go.
I mean, I don't know what to say.
You haven't got your sound on, but there's some music going on in the background with record players.
Whoa!
I think he's ringing that bell. There we go.
I mean, I'm fairly confused, Dan, but I mean, I like it. It's festive and there's bicycles on there.
Another hack then?
Another hack!
Great stuff. Wow, I think that might be the end of the festive specific ones, but I guess you could argue the case of this next one, which came in from Flies Only. Belt from old chain and pulley wheels, had some old chain pieces and a couple of pulley wheels laying around that I no longer needed. And rather than tossing them into the garbage and ultimately a landfill, I decided to make them into a belt. A friend helped me with the lever parts, but I designed and made the remainder of the belt myself. Yes, the pulley wheels do indeed rotate.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I love that
it
one.
It is. I mean, I might not sport it myself, but I appreciate this. No, I don't think so. I appreciate that someone else made it. Everything looks like it's in remarkably good condition.
It does, doesn't it?
Like there's not a trace of wear on the jockey wheels and the chain as well. A gold chain. Well, several different gold chains by the look of it. Look.
Are you trying to say that Flies Only did not use used parts, but just purchased these?
Well, maybe they're like Ollie and Alex, which is that used parts are sort of like, they swap them out regularly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want red jockey wheels now, I want blue ones.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, no, I like that very much. So I'm going to say hack.
Okay, hack from me as well. I've actually got a fifth. Normally I only do four each week, don't I?
Well, it's Christmas, Dan, isn't it?
Yeah.
As if
don't say we never give you anything.
Yeah, as if you couldn't tell.
The fifth hack and bodge.
Our Christmas decorations are probably better than ever this year, aren't they?
I'd say we've stepped it up, haven't we? Oh, that's the end of that. Right, the last one comes in from Simon Lowe. Riding tubeless for 5 years and without a puncture to talk about in that time.
Wow.
I'm worried that one day when I really need to get out of jail free card, I'm going to find my TPU inner tube punctured by neglect or from rubbing around inside my saddlebag alongside multi-tool, etc. Then today when I was examining it for the first time in years, I realised it would fit perfectly inside a toilet roll. As it is as if they were made for each other. So I added some duct tape inside and out for waterproofing to toughen up the cardboard, and job done. Added just 10 grams, whereas I typically carry 1 kilogram of water in two, but I didn't need to read that bit. Okay. I can now leave the whole assembly inside my saddlebag without worry for another 5 years. Now, it'll be ready to use the day my tubeless tyres let me down.
Well, Simon, I'm liking this, but I'm concerned that when you said you got out your TP inner tube, did you check to see whether it's punctured? Because I think if you've left it in your saddlebag for 5 years, 100%, that's not going to inflate.
You reckon?
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, no. I just don't think that's going to work. So I hope that before you have made your elaborate bog roll holder, you have checked.
Okay, well, we could reserve judgment for the actual inner tube, but what about the inner tube holder?
I mean, I want to say it's really good, but is it not really space inefficient? there's a lot of empty space in that.
Yeah,
and so actually what you've done is you've taken a really small inner tube and made it really big.
All right, yeah, I'm in agreement. Let's end this festive hack and bodge of a bodge.
Yeah. Happy Christmas, Simon.
Yeah.
That's bodge. A bodge. Oh, well.
Yeah. Better luck next time.
Yeah. We've got one more hack and bodge, haven't we, before the end of the new year?
We have indeed.
So, otherwise I'd say that also rounded out the year. But no, it doesn't. Don't worry. We'll end on a high next week. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second after the not-so-small matter of the results from last week.
This was last week's photo, which we gave you. This is Amandine Foucanet of France in cyclocross. Our winner this week is Carl Ford, who put, no leg, no saddle, no problem.
I mean, that is quite funny, isn't it? And when you look at it, she actually, you can't see her leg or the saddle.
Or her saddle. Yes. One leg, obviously, and half of the other.
Yes. I mean, simple, isn't it? What can you do?
Simple and effective.
Yeah, well done, Carl. Get in touch and we will get your GCN Camelback water bottle out to you. Right, Dan, what have we got this week? Something festive?
Not particularly.
Not really, is it?
This is a picture of Cam Mason, British national champion in cyclocross, racing in cyclocross. I will get you started. I know that hers are a part of cyclocross, but when do they introduce the limbo?
That's quite funny, actually, mate. I wonder why you were going to go with that one.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
It does look like he's about to duck under something, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
You wonder what he is doing because you don't watch cyclocross. They have many sand sections, and within those sand sections, the riders cause ruts, and so they have to kind of balance themselves to stay in the ruts.
They do,
You can't ride, can you?
Come out of the rut, and you will hemorrhage time. Mm. But so they do what they can to stay in the rut. And that is Cam definitely doing what he can.
Yeah. Right, do your best with your captions in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week.
Not next week.
Oh, we're going to let them know it's pre-recorded next week, are we?
No, not yet.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, but first up, we've picked out a load of comments from last week's video. Underneath the GCN show, which was, does cycling have to be dangerous? Keith Evans wrote in and say, for me, age has determined how I ride my bike. I'm 82. I've had to admit to myself that I've lost confidence on the road when cycling. My reactions to various situations aren't as fast as they used to be, and I seem to have developed a fear of road traffic. Up to my mid-70s, I was okay, and actually time trialling on busy A roads with no fear at all. That's all gone now, and it's bike and gravel paths from now on, just the occasional country lane. Probably just me and the other old riders cope okay. Love your channel. If you two guys ever want to change jobs, I suggest a comedy duo. You always make me laugh with your banter. Brilliant. That's very kind of him, isn't it?
Thanks, Keith. That's amazing. Yeah. And can I just say, fair play to you, 82 years old, taking up gravel riding.
I know, yeah.
That is cool.
Fantastic.
Unbound next year, Keith. You know you want to. Right, next one. We got this from Hey Nowles. As of 01:24 in California, on any street with multiple lanes in one direction, the law now requires drivers to completely change lanes before passing a bike rider proceeding in the same direction.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Mm. Very good.
Yeah.
Gems Hidden Histoire. No, history. I don't know why they did that in French. it was great fun on the GCN group ride this morning. 258 riders showed up. And as Dan is saying, no matter what FTP you have and no matter what your zone 2 power and speed is, the program ride set up so we all stayed together in a big group and it was pretty cool. This, of course, relates to the twice weekly rides that Lorraine and I are doing on Zwift. Normally they're on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This week, actually, they're on Tuesdays and they're on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Because Thursday's Christmas Eve day.
So we're doing ours on Christmas Eve. Our delightful VO2 Max session is tomorrow if you're watching this on Tuesday.
For those of you worried, don't worry. Christmas Eve is still a work day, so Dan is not having to...
No, exactly.
That's
the main reason that we didn't want to do it on Christmas Day. It's not a work day.
No, fair. Yeah. That's super cool, though, isn't it?
So do join us if you can. They're going on for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
You can find all details on the Zwift companion app if you search for the GCN Club.
And then Stephen Orkley said, good to see Si back from New York after hosting Saturday Night Live under his pseudonym Josh O'Connor.
Unbelievable how many comments we had about this. Did you see
it? Really? No.
Si's quickly looking up Josh O'Connor. There was loads of people saying the same thing.
Do I look like him?
You're not that good looking.
No, I was going to say. Oh, maybe there. He's quite, similarities.
Yeah, that's his bad side.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll take that.
You have a peruse later on.
Yeah, I will do. I mean, it'd be like Hugh Jackman and Josh Rickon. To be fair, I mean, Eddie. It's a while since I got the Eddie Redmaynes, but that was good.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of comments, though, saying the same thing, to the point where I was like, I'm going to have to look this guy out myself.
Yeah.
Right, underneath, we tried to ride up one of the highest roads in the world, 18 Teter, but I think this channel sells itself short. Sure, it's about bikes, and you'll do a great job with that, but what really keeps me watching is the friendship. I genuinely admire, and yes, low-key envy, how you all head out on adventures together, find wild challenges, hype each other up, and still drop some salty jokes. Just fun and uplifting to watch, so yeah, thanks for that, and keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that is cool. Thanks. I mean, we are quite lucky, aren't we?
Very lucky, yeah.
Yeah. Andy Moe said 48% less oxygen. Now you know what Connor feels like. This is in relation to the altitude. Yes. Oh, that had a little chuckle.
Hal DIY, but congratulations on finding a place that the Rain Man stayed dry in. Yeah, this is referring to Ollie, who's been to many parts of the world this year, and every time he goes there, it's raining, no matter where it is or what time of year.
Well, can I just do a little shout out for this weekend's video? So Ollie and I had the most incredible time bikepacking in Denmark. Mm. The weather was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
It was. So make sure you check that video out, actually, because yeah, I think it's really, like, it's one of my favourites from the year, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Coming up this weekend, yeah.
And Denmark just blew us away. It really did. And not with the wind, because it wasn't even windy either.
Wow.
It really was perfect. Yeah, honestly. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Meanwhile, under it only gets better from here, the winter solstice ride. Zippy is king, but I tell you, Connor has the red flashing light on his helmet to warn any passing planes of his presence.
That is very good. To be fair, Connor has a red flashing light on his helmet because he couldn't find a red flashing light to go on his bike.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was one of those ones where he was flapping around at 5 o'clock in the morning and realised that he was going to be late. To be fair, he and Ollie, I mean, I was banking on the fact that Ollie was going to be about 10 minutes late. Mm. So I based my entire calculations on getting there 10 minutes late so I didn't have to stand around and wait. Not only were they not late, they got there early.
Well, they were discussing it here in the office the day before, weren't they? They were determined not to be late.
Yeah, but Ollie does that all the time and is still late. I just couldn't believe it. Anyway, so yeah, fair play to them.
Crisis in Lycra, but what a feel-good video, and definitely lifted a soul as I looked out of the blinds at the grey drizzle of the day. Great stuff.
That's cool, yeah, I'm pleased about that. And then underneath, who is the fastest presenter? Philip Cooper said, is Ollie still number one? Now that is a thumbnail that would bring many laughs not that long ago. Ollie's transformation is very inspirational.
Yeah, you forget, don't you? But yeah, he's pretty fit these days.
Well, I mean, he's also really good at computer games, turns out. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what it all came down to, isn't it?
Tom K. 12,000, but I wouldn't call him a mate, but he's been a colleague for 13 years. This is my quote about Si.
It cut pretty deep, that, mate. I'm not going to lie.
I was pleased with that one.
I mean, I expected more of Si. I wouldn't call him a mate, but he's been a colleague for 13 years now. Well, at least I thought he was. No colleague of mine.
Yeah, I bet you are. And then, what's that one? Quevelin?
Yep.
Surely if Dan had really thought about it, he'd have had the Zwift clicks off the bars so that one of his team could pedal while someone else steered. Maybe next year.
Do you know what? That thought came to me, but too late. It was whilst we were racing, I was like, well, we could have been doing the steering whilst James or Adam was on the bike pedalling. Yeah.
That would have been quite
good,
actually.
Should have thought about it beforehand.
Should have done, yeah. You're good at cheating, Dan, but not that good at cheating.
Finally, Paul Burnford. Connor's flag in the final table should be Irish, not the Union Jack.
Apologies.
Yeah, despite his strong Irish accent, we do sometimes forget, don't we?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
That was
our
mistake.
Yeah, sorry about that. Right then, what can you watch on GCN over Christmas? Well, on Christmas Day itself, we have our traditional bloopers reel for you. Mostly seems to be Connor, doesn't it?
At this point, yeah, we're trying to crowbar some of the rest of us in, but it does feel like Connor's the only one that makes mistakes and howls with laughter.
I mean, I literally can't think of a mistake from you.
No? No, but this is the problem we're up against, isn't
it? Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, never mind. We'll find something for you. And then on Saturday, as mentioned, it's that Denmark bikepacking video, so please do check that one out. Yes, like I say, really proud of that one, so check it out. And then on Sunday, me and Alex had a little bit of a go at cyclocross racing again. A bit of a grudge match, this one.
We mentioned that on last week's show, didn't we?
We did,
that'll
indeed,
be coming out on Sunday. You can see how they fared against each other.
That's right, that's cyclocross bike versus gravel bike. Mm. The ultimate showdown.
Very good.
So yeah. All been well. We'll be back racing again before we come back to work. So I've got one more teed up.
Very
good.
Do
you want to be my pit crew?
Where is it?
Andover, Supercross.
Oh, it's not far from me.
No,
shoot me a message.
Well, technically, I've only got one bike, so you won't have much to do.
Technically, also, you're a colleague, not a friend, and that's not on a work day, I don't think.
All right, fair enough.
No, I'll come along.
Yeah. Alex will be there as well, so you can
come. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely go then.
Good, yeah, okay, right, cool.
Well, that brings to an end the penultimate GCN show of 2025.
That's it. Happy Christmas, yeah. One and all, and we will see you one final time before the new year.